A social media whistleblower will tell her story in Washington today. I'm David Brancaccio. A Facebook insider named Frances Haugen is set to testify at a Senate hearing today with the focus on what the social media giant does to people. Marketplace's Nova Safa will be watching the hearing today. What might we hear from this former Facebook employee?
Well, Haugen's going to urge lawmakers to regulate Facebook. We know this from her written testimony submitted in advance. She'll compare the moment we're in now to tobacco companies who denied smoking was unhealthy, or to the effort in the 1960s to require cars to have seatbelts. Car companies had to be forced to provide them. And Haugen will say that Facebook's leadership knows how to make its network safer, but despite public statements that they're working to reduce misinformation and harmful content, Haugen says, in fact, the company won't make the kind of changes she says are necessary in favor of profits.
Now, Haugen leaked tens of thousands of pages of internal Facebook documents. What are we learning?
Well, they seem to show that Facebook is making social polarization worse through its algorithm that places posts on people's news feeds. And among the leaked documents is also internal Facebook research in which some teenage girls told the company that Instagram harmed their mental health. Now, last week, a Facebook executive, Antigone Davis, appeared before this very same Senate panel that we'll hear from Haugen today. And Antigone Davis pushed back on the teen mental health claims, saying their internal research has been mischaracterized. Other Facebook representatives have said that the company is putting in a lot of effort to improve online interactions.
All right, Nova, thank you. And Facebook, Instagram, Messenger, WhatsApp, Oculus VR services are all back up after the six-hour outage that stopped the world on its axis for some people yesterday. Reconfiguring their routers went awry, Facebook says. What did you do with your time when parts of the social media universe went dark? Well, I used my cyber-free interval to solve the problem of cold fusion, finish Ulysses, and overhaul an 8-speed transmission. Why do I feel so productive? Markets were watching crude oil today up another 0.5%, $78 a barrel, with OPEC deciding on just a small increase in production. Oil's the highest in 7 years. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are each up 0.4% now. At a hearing in Texas last week, some state senators there sounded upset that natural gas companies may not have beefed up their facilities to withstand another cold snap like they had last winter that paralyzed the state. But experts note that loopholes championed by the industry were baked into a law legislators passed over the summer. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports from Austin.
After February's deadly winter storm, Texas Governor Greg Abbott made weatherizing the state's electricity infrastructure a priority. Enter Senate Bill 3 and a sigh of relief, right?
We are not ready for this winter.
That's Doug Lewin. He runs Stoic Energy, a consultancy based in Austin. He says the natural gas companies that produce nearly half of the power that fuels the state's electricity grid can sidestep the law.
There was a failure in advance of last February. That failure, unfortunately, is being compounded by incompetence.
Lewin says state regulators have pretty broad power to institute rules quickly. They just haven't. And Joshua Rhodes at the Weber Energy Group at the University of Texas at Austin says lawmakers have to realize that our energy systems are interconnected.
So if we have a massive disruption in one, it will ripple through to the other systems and normal people will notice.
According to a BuzzFeed analysis, more than 700 Texans died last winter as a result of the winter storm. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler from Marketplace.
Fashion Month wraps up in Paris this week, and so much of what's shown on the runway will never be sold, much less sold secondhand. But here on Fashion Earth, resale, as it's called, is being embraced by the clothing industry. A new report from ThredUp, that's a resale clothing website, predicts the market for secondhand clothes will double in the next 5 years, maybe $77 billion. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab reports.
Nicole DePaw in Jacksonville, Florida, loves thrifting. There are the financial reasons.
I've got kids, so they grow like weeds.
The environmental ones.
It's not going in a landfill. It's not being forgotten in somebody's attic.
And the sheer thrill of the hunt.
You're flipping through the racks and you come upon some like designer pair of jeans and they're like $5 and they would be like $100 retail. And you get that little adrenaline rush.
ThredUp president Anthony Marino says these are the main reasons why secondhand shopping is growing. According to ThredUp's report, a third of consumers care more about shopping sustainably than they did before the pandemic.
They had a little bit more time to look at all the stuff literally seeping out of their closets, all the clothing they don't wear.
He says resale is growing the most among younger shoppers. Most people spend about $20 per item. Sucharita Kadali at Forrester says resale makes up only about 5% of the apparel market. But
it is growing faster than apparel certainly is growing, and it's growing faster than the retail industry is growing. It's even growing faster than e-commerce.
That's enough to convince clothing stores to get in on the trend. ThredUp and Madewell recently opened a pop-up shop in Brooklyn that sells secondhand Madewell clothes, and Lululemon, Levi's, and Patagonia have created their own resale and buyback programs. Most of these brands push the sustainability angle on their websites. But Kadali says we still don't know that much about the environmental impact of resale.
When somebody puts something in a FedEx box and sends it on a plane across the country, like I do question how environmentally sustainable that is.
There are always local options like thrift stores and garage sales. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
Our producers are Rose Conlon, Meredith Gerritsen, Stephen Ryan, Alex Schroeder, Daniel Shin, and Erica Soderstrom. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.